on the series premiere of the Glass Cannon podcast, five friends will gather around a table to play a make-believe story of epic proportions.
Let's jump into the world of imagination, if you will.
You're such a loser.
That's going to be said a lot.
In the war-torn village of Trunau, four strangers will be brought together by fate.
To Trunauans, earning your hope knife is a mark of your place in the community.
Do I know you?
Good to meet you. My name's Thomas Exposition.
And bound together by murder.
Bloody hope knife was in his limp hand. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, gods. Oh, gods.
The adventure begins now.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Troy LaValle, and I want to thank you for checking out the Glass Cannon podcast. I'm actually re-recording this intro for a second time from the future. We started this show back in 2015. It was just a bunch of buddies sitting in a sweaty Queens apartment recording their playthrough of a Pathfinder adventure path. And flash forward many years later, and it has become a full-on business with several employees. We've all quit our jobs to do this full-time, and we put out more shows than anybody else that does this. It's very, very exciting, and it has a lot to do with so many people who started right here at episode one and kept going all the way through to the end and started listening to our other shows, followed us on tour, bought our merch. We have so many people to thank. We call those people the Naish, which is short for Glass Cannon Nation. We like to shorten words unnecessarily. You'll hear a lot of that. You're about to start our first campaign, which was the Pathfinder First Edition Giant Slayer Adventure Path. This goes on for over 326 episodes. Takes us about 7 years to finish, thanks to a pandemic. And also, we just play really slow. And now I'm speaking to you about a week before Campaign 2 launches, September 14th. 2023. I don't know when you're listening to this, but on September 14th, 2023, Campaign 2 launches, or has launched, depending on when you're listening to this, where we have switched to Pathfinder's second edition to play their three-book Gatewalkers adventure path. I mean, so much has changed, and you're starting right here at the beginning. And it's important that I re-record this intro because we learned a lot doing this, and we learned it luckily pretty quickly. We're an edgy group, and I think sometimes our humor got a little too edgy early on, and we scaled back. I've gone through and I've edited certain things out and had to leave other things in for various reasons. But 10 years ago, we certainly took a lot of jokes for granted. Casual sexism, like, oh, you run like a girl, you know, we just never thought, like, oh, that's an asinine thing to say. Now, I have a daughter, and if someone ever said that, I would knock them out. So, you know, I do feel bad that some of that stuff may have snuck past the goalie and stay in there, but I think you'll find over time, not only do we course correct very quickly, but we're also known as one of the most accepting, loving, open groups out there in all of gaming. People from all walks of life flock to the Naish because of who we are as people. So I'm excited to have you jump in. And if things seem a little off from episode to episode, stick with us. I promise you, it is a journey of a lifetime. And if you really like what you hear, we have so much content that's out there for free. We also have a subscription service. If you go to jointhenaish.com, that's jointhenaish, NAISH.com, we have hundreds and hundreds of hours of exclusive content that is only available via subscription. Thank you so much for giving us a chance. I'm so excited to continue to grow this project. My entire life, I dreamed of being able to entertain people. It's all I wanted to do, acting, stand up, and nothing ever popped until the Glass Cannon podcast. And it has been life-changing for me and so many other people who have come together to form the Glass Cannon Network. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out glasscannonnetwork.com and jointhenaish.com. In the meantime, sit back, relax, and enjoy episode one. Man, this takes me back, of the Glass Cannon Podcast, introducing Tom Exposition.
But that being said, let me introduce my co-hosts, starting with Mr. Joe O'Brien. Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Troy. Pleasure to be here.
Joe, tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name's Joe O'Brien. I am a co-creator of MetagameTheory.com, and I'm a big nerd, play a lot of Pathfinder, and looking forward to starting this Giant Slayer campaign.
And now, Joe, what character are you playing? Tell me a little bit about this guy.
I'm going to be playing a ranger. He's a half-orc, sort of an aging ranger in the militia. Hmm. He's a sergeant. He goes by Sergeant Lork Irontusk.
Lork.
Lork. That's L-O-R-C.
Right.
Don't put any K's in there. He is basically for... he's sort of discriminated against as a half-orc and doesn't really get the job opportunities a lot of people would get. And he's got a bum knee, so he sort of has been sitting at a desk job for a really long time. But he used to be out in the field long ago, but an injury sort of put him behind a desk, and that's where he's been for a while. He drinks. He likes drinking.
What's his drink of choice?
Whiskey.
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 Half-orc whiskey.
They brew it great up here in Belskin.
And next we have Matthew Capodicasa, which
nice.
Means captain of the house, I believe.
We say head of the house.
All right. Matthew, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a playwright and a fiction writer, and I'm getting my MFA right now, finishing up this semester unless they kick me out.
For this, they might.
For this, they might, actually.
I'm sorry, we just can't let you write plays.
Listen to your podcast.
I'm like, guys.
Your friends are idiots. We can't allow you to represent our school.
I'm like, guys, but the storytelling possibilities are amazing. But yeah, so I'm also a big nerd, but I had never really played any RPGs before, and then good friend Joe O'Brien here converted me. And so I'll be carrying the idiot ball for this podcast because I'm a relative newbie. But
hell yeah.
That's right. That's
noob
what
sauce.
We in the biz call a noob.
Yep.
Now, Matthew, tell me a little bit about your character.
My character's a human witch. Her name is Gormley Call.
Gormley?
Gormley.
Gormley.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sounds pretty.
She sounds really pretty.
And I'm positive I spelt it wrong, but continue.
So she's a native of Trunam, but there are rumors swirl around about what happened, but she was cast out as a teenager and has been living in the mountains for decades. Mm. She's now middle-aged, and she's been kind of living alone, hanging out with the rocks and artifacts and her trusty green sting scorpion familiar Howie.
So she hangs out with a scorpion and the rock?
He prefers Dwayne.
She's in the scorpion game.
Yeah. Movie. So she's kind of a little wacky and wild and very lonely.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it.
Now, I think you and Joe both mentioned Trunow. I'll just let our listeners know that is the setting for this adventure. They all start off in the city of Trunow, which exists in the area known as the Holds of Belskin, or Belkzin, which is a big orc territory. A lot of orcs ravaging the land, and this one little mostly human settlement is rising above it. Next up, we have Grant. Grant, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Grant Berger, also a nerd, obviously. I work in video for a large nonprofit here in New York City, and I'm excited to do something that's bad for people instead of good for people, this podcast. I'm very excited. This is my second paper and dice, paper and pencil RPG. Playing Rise of the Rune Lords with the person you'll hear from next. He's our DM in that game and really enjoyed it. I am playing as Baron, who is a dwarven gunslinger.
Awesome.
As we know, dwarves and orcs are kind of super hatred enemies of each other. My ancestors have been fighting against orcs for forever.
So much racism.
We'll see what.
So exciting.
We'll see what happens with the filthy green skin to my left. And basically, I am in the Belkson Hold because I was traveling in a caravan with my parents. We were overturned by orcs. I escaped. And now I'm kind of a wandering vigilante, saving people beset by orcs. And I go to Trunau to kind of sell what I plunder from them and their scalps and that type of thing.
Sort of a dwarven Clint Eastwood man with no name.
Right. And I basically look like a 4 foot or so Daniel Day-Lewis with a really haggard beard.
Fuck yeah. 4 foot Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. And I have
my child.
I have a bit of a Napoleon complex, so we'll see how that
will we
out.
Be using CGI in the movie, like that movie Little Man with the Wayans brothers?
Daniel Day. You clearly could have just said Lord of the Rings with Gimli, right. But you went to the Wayans brothers. I love that.
It was on Comedy Central last night at like 2 a.m. Little Man.
Classic American film.
I'm glad to see you're getting your rest before podcasting.
Right. Up
thanks
all night.
For texting me and letting me know, by the
thinking,
way.
Thinking, oh, I'm so sorry.
Did you get to see White Girls after that?
it was a Wayans block.
White chicks, right?
2 to
white
6
chicks.
A.m.
White chicks.
And last, and by all means least, we have our resident, what would you call him?
King of all nerds.
King of all nerds.
Thank you.
He, whereas most of us stopped playing, Skid never stopped. Ladies and gentlemen, Skidmar, tell us about yourself.
Thank you. My name is Skidmar. I work for a large pharmaceutical concern here in New York City, and I'm writing also. I used to be an actor until I realized I'm not that good at it and I don't like it that much.
Not true.
I started playing in, I think it was 1979. My uncle gave me the red box of the basic Dungeons & Dragons red box, and this third grade, and I just fell completely in love. And I played pretty much until I went to college, and I stopped. And then I started playing again when I was like 27. So I've been playing. This is my second life as a role player for the last like 20 years.
I don't age yourself. Oh damn it!
So I'm old. My character's name is Galabras Finn. He is was the first son and heir to a very wealthy family, mercantile family in Absalom, which is like the Rome or Paris of Galarian of this world. But he had a religious awakening as a young man and decided that he wanted to join the priesthood of Desna. His father became very angry and threatened to disown him, cut him off if he did this. Galabras went through with it anyway, and his father went through with his threat. So he went out as to spread the good word to the frozen north, to the lands of the Linorm kings in this world, which is like Vikings and shit. And he went up there. Ship was blown off course. He was captured by backwoods, like Scandinavian deliverance type farmers. and enslaved, basically, and made to work the fields and beaten and everything.
Can you go into more explicit detail?
And I won't get into the sexual stuff.
I was going to say, did you squeal like a pig?
I don't know what the Norwegian equivalent of a banjo is, but he heard it a lot. And then he was sold to like a traveling merchant who like carted him like halfway across the continent to the town of Trunau. And once he got there, he realized that he had an opportunity to escape. And I'm taking his inspiration, Dred Scott decision, the Supreme Court Dred Scott decision. So he approached the leaders of the town and said, I will pledge myself to your service if you'll free me from slavery. And they said, oh, cool. Okay. So he's been working in the sanctuary as a healer, basically. His faith has been shaken very badly because he chose... I don't want to go on too long. he chose the luck domain. He sees luck as like evidence of like divine providence from Desna. But everything that's happened to him, he's just like, well, this is the unluckiest fucking collection of shit that's ever happened to somebody. So this is, I don't really believe anymore. He still has his powers, but he's not preaching. He's decided to like, I'm not going to like try to convince anybody else to worship Desna when I don't even really believe myself anymore. So that's where he is.
Wow. Great description. And that's the podcast for today. That's
Thank
all the
you.
Time we have.
Oh, thanks, and, as an actor playing him, it would be James McAvoy.
Oh, yeah. Matthew, who's playing Gormley?
I have no earthly idea.
You have to just discover. She doesn't even know.
It hasn't been cast yet.
We sent out some offers.
I think
you'll see a press release soon.
Helena Bonham Carter might be good.
Oh, she would be good.
That would be a good one. Yeah. Really good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's this is the pilot. We can always recast her.
That's true. That happens a lot.
That actress we cast as Gormley just was not working out.
Matthew, we'd also recast you, so please don't show up.
Damn it.
And what about Lork?
Lork would be Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones. Davos from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. Awesome.
So a little gritty, a little older, but you know he can kick some ass if he came to it.
One other thing I just wanted to set out about mine. I love long walks on the beach. I just thought I'd give some more exposition like Skid did. Aww. But
wait, your character does? Or you?
Yeah, the character. No, but in all seriousness, I kind of wear a duster as well. Over my studded leather armor, and I hide the fact that I have a gun and am a gunslinger because it's kind of an emerging thing, would cause probably more trouble than it's good in town.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never played with a gunslinger.
Me neither. I can only imagine that any reasonable character in the world that wasn't the gunslinger would just be like, what the fuck is that? And then just be like, I want one immediately.
Yeah, pretty much everyone would just want one.
Which is kind of exactly what happened in the real world.
Exactly.
And look how good we all turned out. That's right.
What's nice now at this point, all of our friends and family that don't like role-playing have stopped listening. So now for the true fans that have stuck by, I guess we just jump right in.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
We've spent an ample amount of time working on these characters. Let's jump into the world of imagination, if you will.
You're such a loser.
That's going to be said a lot.
This is like an Epcot ride.
We all have girlfriends and wives, but
we do.
This
that's
is crazy.
True.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
true.
Very happy.
I was going to say that
we're all sharing the same woman.
She doesn't walk too well.
Deborah's very lovely.
We
all love her very much.
Naturally, as D&D players, we all share the same woman, and we're all devil worshippers. So
we'll all commit suicide if our characters die.
As is tradition.
Lost a lot of friends that way.
Lost some good men out there.
Just checking to see if my mute button worked, because I just threw up in my mouth. I just, like, threw up three munchkins.
Hey, I take issue with your term, munchkin.
Ooh, sorry.
But looks like we've already started. This is on the record.
So, shit, yeah, all right. So here we are in True Now, and our story takes place in an area known as the Commons. So you're in this big open-air amphitheater, sort of in the southern part of town, right in the center of town, really. And it's a typical amphitheater. It's got a stone floor, a raised stage at the southwest end. It's normally used for, like, militia training, lessons, ceremonies, and whatnot. And today, there is a very special ceremony going on. Basically, the chief defender of the Blackened Blades, kind of like one of the main council people of the town, her name is Halgra. She is holding a ceremony to celebrate the birthday of her daughter, Ruby.
Aww.
It's her 12th birthday. And what happens in True Now is on your 12th birthday, it's kind of like, it's like a bar mitzvah in a way. It's like your coming of age, where you get to receive your very own hope knife. And what's a hope knife? Well, you're about to find out. She's standing there on the stage, and she's being assisted by two of the most prominent members of the town militia. Their names are Roderick and Kirst Graff. They are brothers, and they're the eldest sons of the patrol leader, Jagrin Graff. So lots of fun names and stuff to think about there.
And just to be clear, my dude knows these guys. If they're in the militia, he would know them.
Oh, yeah. Right? You know Roderick and Curse very well.
Okay.
They're kind of a big deal, especially Roderick.
And is it G-R-A-F-F, Graff?
G-R-A-T-H.
Graff, sorry. You should enunciate better.
Oh, I'm sorry. Got a lot of mucus from those munchkins. Jubilation fills the evening air in the normally staid town of Trunau, for it is the 12th birthday of the chief defender's youngest daughter, Ruby, and the townsfolk have been preparing all day for the ceremony and the festivities to follow. A throng, a veritable throng of spectators has amassed at the town commons, and then the buzz of the crowd subsides as this rather weathered town leader, as the weathered town leader, Halgra of the Blackened Blades, takes the stage and begins to speak. Think about like a really beat up looking Melissa McCarthy. And she says, thank you all for joining us this night. And she's a big presence. You know, she's seen some shit. Definitely everyone quiets down the minute she starts talking. Thank you all for joining us this night. I take immense pride in my responsibility as chief defender, especially when it comes to the honor of the Hope Knife ceremony. It is always a great privilege to bequeath Trunauan youths their Hope Knives as they come of age. She stops speaking long enough to open this beautiful ornamental case and retrieve a slender, ornately decorated dagger that is hanging from a silver chain. And she says, but tonight is a special occasion, for the recipient of this Hope Knife is none other than my youngest daughter. She pauses, and by this time she turns to the child beside her daughter, and says, Ruby, by the traditions of our town, you have come of age. This Hope Knife represents your responsibilities as an adult and defender of Trunau. You must be willing to use it on yourself, your fellow Trunauans, and your family. Even me.
Jesus.
Should have come to
just
that.
Like a bar mitzvah.
Yep.
What the hell?
I mean, I'm pretty not sure
that's what they're saying.
I think that's a bris, actually.
I'm not Jewish, but I assume that's what a bar mitzvah is. It will be a far quicker death than that which the orcs will offer.
Oof.
And providing it is your duty. Do you swear?
I love this town.
Do you swear to guard Trunau?
I found a home.
Do you swear to guard Trunau from all comers and to use your Hope Knife only for its intended purpose?
So killing yourself or anyone else.
Right? Not like preparing a lovely cheese for your friends.
I pledge not to use this to spread mayonnaise on any sandwiches.
Even when there's no knives available. Caught in the wild with a mayonnaise and a sandwich.
Use that to kill yourself, I told you. So then Ruby, this painfully shy, dusky-skinned, black-haired child, she nods her head like, I'll do that. Halgra goes on, if the orcs come and there is no other option, this is where you cut. Here, here, and here. And she demonstrates the exact arteries to sever while Ruby just watches and nods. Now, here's the thing. Like, if you've lived in Trunau long enough, you've seen this a million times. If you're a Trunau native, you have your own Hope Knife. It's pretty standard fare. It just seems rather barbaric to tell a 12-year-old. So this is how you kill yourself. You want to cut this artery, this one, and this one. That's what she does. And when she's finished, Halgra sheathes the Hope Knife and places the necklace around Ruby's neck before turning back one last time to address the crowd, and I can finish this exposition. Tonight, people of Trunau, Ruby becomes a full member of our community. Let us welcome her and celebrate her passage into adulthood. Trunau, forever! And then the whole crowd's like, Trunau, forever! Ah!
Trunau!
And then, like, the music from the end of Return of the Jedi comes up. Chomp, chomp, ba-chomp, ba-chomp, chomp, chomp. Chomp, chomp,
ba-ba-cha-chomp, ba-ba-cha-chomp. Careful, that's copyrighted.
That's fair
use.
No,
it's not.
That's fair use.
That's fair use.
So, yeah, everybody's having a blast, and all four of you people are there as well. Now, as is tradition in these ceremonies, there's a bunch of lighthearted games that happen, and Ruby, of course, is the key player in all of these games. And the first such game is a tug of war, which traditionally pits the Hope Knife receiver, in this case Ruby, against Trunau's best defenders. So for the past several years, Roderick and Kirst have taken along this role along members of the two...
Can we bet?
Well, it's not like one on her, just like Ruby and the True Now Militia.
Yeah, I thought it was Ruby against the True Now Militia.
So basically, on one side is Roderick and Kirst and a couple other militia guys. And then Ruby, she gets to choose from the crowd who's going to join her team. So she looks around for a bit, and then she walks up to this character. And what does she see?
She sees a 6'4", green, tusked, slightly drunk man who looks very strong.
That's probably why she picked you.
Right.
You, sir. She grabs you, pulls you upstage.
All right.
Then she keeps wading through the crowd, and she goes up to this rather ugly-looking witch.
She's not scared at all.
Rude.
You should have seen me 20 years ago.
I was a great beauty. And what does this witch look like?
Her hair is wild. She's got crazy, you know, crazy look in her eyes, haggard look.
The kind of look that would draw a 12-year-old.
She's the cat lady from Simpsons.
You know, which everything you want in a babysitter.
The exact kind of woman her mom told her never to talk to.
Exactly.
Just make sure when you're in a crowd, don't talk to women like that. So for some reason...
She's entering her rebellious years.
You know, but maybe she feels bad for this woman who clearly is sticking out like a sore thumb. So she says, I'm going to choose you. She wants to make her part of the ceremony. And then she sees this rather strong-looking dwarf in a duster. What does this guy look like?
He looks like probably 4 foot something. Daniel Day-Lewis, as I mentioned earlier, haggard beard, kind of mysterious, has a hat that covers his eyes with a little bit of a brim, wearing black tan studded leather underneath his duster.
Hmm. I like that.
He shoots a suspicious glance at the half-orc that's been chosen.
The half-orc hasn't noticed the dwarf yet. He's too short.
Yeah. That does not please.
Yeah, that's the thing about True Now. It's right in the middle of orc country, so everyone hates orcs because they kill everyone that's not an orc. And then you have a ton of half-orcs living in the area as well, and they're pretty much accepted, but the older people in town are still a little wary, like, mixed blood.
All right.
Oh, then the bowling alley upstairs is just open for business. But yeah,
Joe lives above a bowling alley and Noah below another bowling alley.
The rent is real cheap.
And then lastly, she can pick one more person. She goes over to this James McAvoy looking guy. And what is he dressed like? What does he look like?
He looks like James McAvoy, but really like drawn and gaunt. He's wearing a chain shirt and he's got like a blood stained like cloak and like he's got a smear of like dried blood across his forehead. Jesus. It's not his.
Did he just arrive today?
No, he's been working like in the sanctuary as a healer, like in the sanctuary. So he's got like, you know, yeah, looks real happy.
Really wants to take part in the tug of war.
Yeah, it's like, I just got off an 18-hour shift.
But unfortunately, as is tradition, you cannot refuse the Hope Knife recipient. So she pulls everybody up on stage, and it begins. So basically, who has the highest initiative between you clowns?
Modifier?
Initiative.
Should we roll initiative?
Who has the highest initiative modifier?
+5.
That's higher than me.
+7.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a fast witch.
I'm 0, so.
That witch is scary fast.
She's embraced the agility patron.
Quick witch.
Gormley, what's your initiative modifier altogether?
7.
7, oh, so you have the highest. All right, so you roll initiative for the group to pull.
So with my modifier, we get a 17?
17.
Oh, nope.
Nope.
Other way around. So we get a 13.
13.
I can read.
This is a screenwriter, not a mathematician.
All right. Now, what are all of your strength bonuses?
Once again, 0.
0 minus 1.
Coming in strong with the +3.
Oh, so a 2 is your strength. Okay, one of you guys roll a strength check +2. You don't get the bonus because they had a higher initiative. So you just roll a straight strength roll, and my guys get the initiative.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll roll it. Should I lie or should I tell you what is really
important? I would like the truth.
It's a 9.
A 9 beats them. You guys.
Whoa!
You guys pull them.
It must have been the girl.
5 feet yeah. over, yeah.
She's stronger than she looks.
She's a handsome young lady.
How old is she again? She's 12?
12. Yep, today is her 12th birthday.
And is she human or is she?
Yeah, is she human? Human? Is she half orc?
No, she is human.
Okay.
At least that's what I've decided because I don't feel like looking it up. I forgot, she has a strength modifier of -1, so you got to count that. But you still win and pull it forward.
All right.
Okay. Next round, roll initiative again. So roll your +7 to whatever you get.
Ooh, 17.
You guys get the +2 bonus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Roll another.
Can I roll for this one?
You got it.
All right. Thank you. Oh, 12 plus 2 is 14.
They pull you guys back.
Oh boy.
All right.
I'm really glad I have extensive longbow training.
This is really coming
in handy.
Roll initiative again. Third round.
Oh, God.
9.
9. They get the bonus this time. Now roll your strength.
I'll roll it. 9.
Uh-oh, they pull you one step closer to the water.
We're all going to die.
I'm going to die.
I release the rope and run away.
Ruby falls in the water, thereby embarrassing her.
She's no longer an adult.
Happy birthday.
Bon anniversaire. All right, next round. Roll initiative again.
Come on.
Oh, God.
11.
That's enough. All right, you get the bonus this time. Strength check.
12.
They pull it forward one more time. 14 beats a 12.
No.
Uh-oh, roll initiative again.
Initialize.
Are we one away from the water now?
You're one away from falling in.
25.
Beat that dungeon master.
You get the bonus. Plus dose.
All right. Who's rolling the strength?
You haven't rolled strength yet.
Yeah, do it.
Finish them.
Oh, almost a 19.
So 11.
11, you guys pull it back.
Oh, snap.
All right, next round. Roll it ish.
Oh, there you go.
25.
Oh, man. Now we're starting to feel. We're getting into a rhythm. Oh,
okay.
We're really coming together as a team, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Ultimately.
I think perhaps this is foreshadowing of things. all right, you get the bonus. So +2 and then plus your strength is another 2, right?
12.
14.
Oh, 14, yeah.
14.
14? You guys even the odds.
Yes.
Yes.
Back over the middle. Next round.
16.
You get the bonus again.
Yes, do it.
Strength check.
I'll do it.
Oh, man.
13.
You guys entered one step closer.
Yeah.
Anish.
Ooh. Is that 2? Is that 7? I don't know how to read this. It's a 2. So 9.
9. They get the bonus.
These elvish dice are so stupid.
They rolled low.
I'll roll.
Do it.
12.
12 is enough?
Yes!
All right.
You guys are one away?
One away. Get them.
Yeah.
22.
You guys get the bonus. Make a count.
Strength.
Joe.
Oh,
man. 12.
You see Roderick look at you, look, and kind of wink. And you guys pull them.
They all slosh
in the water.
I always like that, Roderick.
They don't want to make Ruby look bad on her birthday.
Sorry, can we have some ambient sounds? Can we do
Joe, do you have any like crowd sounds we could hear?
Let's see if we can get this anywhere.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Everybody milling about.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds like a beautiful day.
You have tug of war sounds.
All right, hey, cheer. Everybody cheers.
Hey, everybody's like, ha ha!
Yeah, he turns around, sees the dwarf, and he's like, ugh. Didn't even know that guy was behind.
I spit on the ground. But it's not clear if I'm like spitting because my mouth is salivating or. That's one sexiest
orc. I think I know why.
So yeah, I did that dumb little game with tug of war just so that a year from now, when you're fighting hordes of giants, you all look back and say, "Hey, remember when this all started with tug of war?"
You were so naive then.
And it'll be a totally different party because most of you will be dead.
I'm actually going to make my second character a giant. That'll even the odds.
Oh, I should have done that. Much better thinking.
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
So now the ceremony continues as other little silly games, and you guys are just mingling throughout the crowd. Everybody roll your choice of a diplomacy or a knowledge local check.
Nine diplomacy for Galabras.
Gorman gets a 14 knowledge local.
Nine as well for Baron.
13 diplomacy for Lork.
A high of 14.
It's been a rough go so far.
We've not rolled well.
So you guys are walking around, and someone comes up to Galabrius, and Baron is nearby, sort of overhearing this, and they're just kind of talking, and he's like, "You know, the Hope Knife is more than a weapon. It's a symbol. To Trunawans, earning your Hope Knife is a mark of your place in the community. When you earn your Hope Knife, it means you're wise enough to make adult decisions, old enough to know what it means to fear, and strong enough to protect your neighbors, even if it costs your own life."
Do I know you?
No, I just good to meet you. My name's Thomas Exposition.
All right, so it's Thomas Exposition. Thomas,
that, oh, that's right. You're tracking
Thomas Xavier Position.
It's a hex position. The H is silent. Oh, there's the crow. Oh, there's the crow.
Rooster. All right.
You hear somebody else say that rumor has it that Roderick Grath is next in line for the position of patrol leader after his old man Jagrin retires. Jagrin's a good commander, but he's getting old, and it might be time for some new blood in the militia's leadership. And then lastly, you keep hearing people talk about this graffiti all over town. Really only Gormley and Lork pick up on this, but you hear everybody keep talking about this graffiti. They think the militia should stop cleaning it up. They got better things to do than clean up the youngsters' messes. But they're also surprised at how long it lasts, because they see people out there doing all these cleaning with soap and water, and all the graffiti still remains.
Well, I mean, what is the graffiti? What is it? Is it symbols? Is it words?
Is it a Banksy?
People don't quite know what it is. It's like they can't make it out.
Is it cool, or is it like lame?
It looks... it's big. It's really big and obnoxious.
Can I see it right now?
Is it hip?
is it a language? Is it a?
No, it looks like it could be a symbol or a drawing, but
it's not words.
No, it's not words.
Okay.
You're not quite sure what it is because you really haven't noticed it. You just see people trying to clean it up, and you've never really thought too much about it.
Don't tell me what I think about.
Don't tell me what my character thinks.
You can't speak for my thinks.
And at some point during the evening, you guys, after having that tug of war, have kind of huddled back to each other because, you know, for some reason or other, you end up kind of keep bumping into each other. So at one point when you're all kind of hanging out near each other, Kirst and Roderick come over to you guys as the night is worn on and festivities are dying down and most of you guys are just kind of over it. But now they come over and be like, "Hey, that was fun. Did you enjoy the tug of war?"
I should say before this happened, I slipped away and gave Ruby 10 silver pieces. I'm friends with her mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not in a creepy way, I hope.
No.
So like as a gift or for a favor?
Hush money.
Just as a gift.
You just take this and keep quiet. Well, that was nice. That was nice of you. Did you record it on your
sheet? Mark it on your sheet, man.
That you've given away 10 silver pieces.
Oh, they were counterfeit. It doesn't matter.
some friends.
So they're like, you guys enjoying the ceremony?
Yes. Well, I'm rather exhausted. I wish I hadn't had to participate in the tug of war, honestly. But yes, no, it's lovely.
I'm not much for merriment, but I'm hoping that we can get a drink later.
Hey, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
These true now and traditions annoy me.
So you all enjoyed it.
Why are we here?
You guys get the sense right away, and Lork would already know this, that like Roderick is the man. He's just like, everyone around town is like, oh, Roderick. He's kind of like the Robb Stark of the group. And Cursed, he's fine, but he's, you can immediately know.
Without, this is the, his brother.
Yeah, his younger brother. Without anyone telling, you know that he's the younger brother. While still likable, he's like shy and kind of drawn back. And Roderick kind of drives the conversation. And everybody knows him and loves him. And you guys immediately are like, you know, even if you're, even the more ornery among you are like, oh, that guy's all right. So you can talk to them if you want. And if you don't know them, find out some more about them.
I approach Roderick and I ask, how are the patrols lately?
Thankfully, things have been quiet, which you always like to see in a town normally besieged by orcs. things are good. Thanks for asking. No one ever asks.
Gormley says, Roderick, been a long time. How's the family?
Uh-oh. They're fine. Good to see you. Gormley. You know, you look like a Gormley. I don't even know your name. I would say Gormley.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, just making some Trunauan humor. We Trunauans are known for our crappy jokes.
True.
It's good to see you in town, though. I know we don't usually get you out to these festivities, so I'm glad you could come and celebrate with us.
Wouldn't have missed it.
Lork is going to buy a round of drinks just for the squad here and Roderick.
That's nice.
Is Roderick drinking? Is he, like, off duty?
Roderick's like, thank you. Even though I am technically off duty, I have to... I'd like to keep my senses sharp tonight. But thank you. Thank you for the offer. Please, you guys, drink up. This is a celebration.
Yeah, seriously.
The whole town is here for a 12-year-old's birthday party. Let's get wasted.
Any excuse. All right, so shots of whiskey all around. Courtesy of Lork, who doesn't even really look for your approval or appreciation. He just sort of puts it down in front of you and then just drinks it.
Thank you, my massive friend.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Drink it.
Cursed is like, so you guys like the tug of war? Oh, Roderick already asked about that. Anyways, yeah, glad you guys are having fun. Roderick's like, sorry, this is my brother Cursed. He's a good dude. Gives him a noogie.
Does he give off any sort of a creepy vibe?
No, he's just like, he'll never be his brother.
Will he ever stab his brother in the back? Do you get that like sense that he's like...
Roll for that. No, I'm kidding. No, they love each other.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you get the sense they love each other. He's the not cool younger brother.
Yeah.
Like if you had an older brother, you'd be the Cursed.
Totally.
hey guys. So after anything else you want to ask these guys or talk to them about?
Gormley asks, what's the deal with all the graffiti?
Oh, I don't know. This, you know, it's one of those things that I try not to pay too much attention to, but we like to keep the area clean, and these people just keep drawing this stuff everywhere.
I like it.
Oh, you like it? No.
Gives the town a bit of character it never had.
Classic Gormley. You know, the Omast is on it. He seems to have taken an interest in it.
Who?
Omast. And you know, as being one of the members of the militia, that he's talking about Patrol Sergeant Omast Frum, who is kind of like a surrogate father to the Grath brothers. Patrol Sergeant Omast Frum. So he says, like, yeah, Omast has taken a real interest in it, but for the most part, we're not too worried about it. It's a heck of a thing, though, that doesn't seem to come off with soap and water.
Is Omast in this little tavern right now?
We're out in like town square.
You're in like the this giant amphitheater,
right? But there's a bar,
yeah.
So right. It's basically
like a beer tent.
Yeah, there are like little like kiosks set up all over, and Omast should be there. But you also roll a knowledge local. You can all roll it.
4.
Oh, I rolled a 20.
Oh.
12. I rolled a 20, and I have no ranks in it, but yeah, so 20.
Do you get an intelligence bonus even if you don't have ranks or no?
I don't know.
Okay, 12.
12. So, for some reason, Galabras, who just got to town, is like, oh, he's a... He found out somehow in his travels that Omast is a recovering alcoholic.
Aren't we all?
But he's like on the wagon.
I probably like overheard somebody like mention that.
Yeah,
like yesterday.
Yesterday,
yeah. It's like, oh, that old drunk Omast. I wish him luck in his recovery.
Maybe someone came to the sanctuary to burn a candle for Omast.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Baron walks over to the music makers in the bar and asks them to play the equivalent of Little John's Shots, 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 Shots to antagonize him, a drinking song of some sort.
And they're just on their woodwinds like,
come on, Omas! Don't be a little bitch!
You're way more fun when you were drinking.
There's so many people there. You don't specifically see him, but knowing that he's a recovering alcoholic, he probably politely excused himself a while ago. You know, it's hard to be around the drink.
Right.
But yeah, afterwards they're like, sorry guys, I just want to say thank you for taking part in the tug of war. I know it's not... some of you are new here, and it's probably not your cup of tea, but it meant a lot to Ruby, and it always looks good to have the Hope Knife recipient look good on her name day. So thank you for that. Enjoy yourselves tonight, and, you know, we can always use some help in the militia if you ever find, if you ever feel the calling.
Hmm.
And they just...
See you later, Roderick.
Excuse themselves.
Bear that in mind.
Gormley is already super creepy. Bye, Roderick.
Be seeing you.
Just then, a little while later, or just then, a little halfling woman comes over, a little pointy ears. She's clearly had a couple. She's like, oh, hello, if it isn't the heroes of the day, the old tug-of-war winners. Where are you boys staying tonight?
At home.
I'm a girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so small. I couldn't see up that high.
I couldn't see your genitals.
Where are you? Where I was standing. I was just staring directly at your flat crotch. I couldn't know. Where are you, boys and girls, staying tonight? Oh, so you'll be staying at home. I insist you stay at the Ramble House tonight. I have a special room all picked out for you guys.
Can I sense motive on why she's offering?
Sure.
Me too. I want to try that as well. Oh, rogue that. Ooh. 22 for Galabras.
I'm going to do it as well. 12 for Baron.
6 for Gormley.
So, Galabras, you just get the sense that she is just a real fun-loving kind of innkeeper.
Okay.
She's a little eccentric, and she just thinks it'd be fun if you guys stayed there, because where everyone saw you take part in the tug of war, it may like help business to see you guys hanging out together. And you know, even though it was just like a silly tug of war, these kind of events
ritualistically important.
Yeah, and so that, you know, if they see you like, oh my gosh, it's the four guys from the tug of war coming out of the Ramble House.
It's the tuggers.
It's the
how often does the Hope Knife recipient win? Is it like every year because always. They just let them win?
Yeah.
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 All right.
But it's like an honor to
I just wanted to make sure I knew.
But it's like a 12-year-old going against the militia. She gets to pick, or he or she gets to pick anybody they want.
Right.
But still, the odds of her finding people that could actually overcome the best militia guys in town.
Outside of Lork over here, she picked very poorly.
She did. This withered old witch and an exhausted doctor.
She's 12. She's an idiot.
Maybe she's just exceptionally kind.
Could be.
She had kind eyes.
Or maybe she's touched by fate. You ever think about that?
Fate, get your hands off her! I told you before. It's her birthday, for crying out loud.
Fate needs to get on the wagon.
Sorry.
Fuck you, Fate.
Fate, you can't stay at the Ramble House tonight.
It's like, well, Galabas is up. Well, I was planning on spending the night sleeping on a blood-stained patch of straw in the sanctuary, but that sounds nice too.
Oh, no. I insist a blood-stained patch of straw, not on Cham's watch. What about you there, little man?
I'm taller than you are. No, you understand. I don't know how inebriated you are right now. But
I'm sorry.
Lork does a spit take. He's like...
I roll my eyes and I say, it's better than sleeping on the range tonight.
Oh.
I'll join.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, sleeping on blood-stained patches of straw on the range. No. You must come to the Ramble House. And you, oh, flat-crotched one. What about you? Where are you lodging?
Gormley's scorpion familiar Howie skitters out of her robes and across her shoulders and then back into her robes.
Oh, that's creepy.
Wouldn't miss it. I'll be there.
There'll be an extra fee for pets. Okay.
She's already regretting this, like, greatly.
Now, Lork, I know you have your own lodgings, and you're welcome to use them, but if you'd like, you'd be my guest tonight at the Ramble House.
Well, my place is real, real shitty, too. I'll stay.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, you've made me such a happy...
I don't clean a lot.
Well, no,
I don't clean.
It's an odd thing to say. We have maids that will clean up the rooms, but... as long as you don't Johnny Depp the place, it should be fine. Are you going to shit on the floor? Like, what do you mean you're not clean?
I've been drinking.
Sorry.
I'm drunk. I'm off duty tonight.
Okay, all right. You're getting a little handsy there, Lork.
You're adorable.
It's like you little creature.
Lork has his hand like right on her side. It's like so close to her little halfling bosom. That kind of awkward, like John Travolta touch. okay, Lork.
Please welcome Adele Nazeem.
All right, so you know, and by now the festivities are winding down, and eventually you guys make your way to the Ramble House. So you know, the Commons is in the center of town. The Ramble House is up closer to where the inner quarter is. You know, the whole part of Trunau, it's kind of built on its hills, its various slopes and hills, and it's a gated community.
Yeah, walled and gated.
So
a portcullis community.
It resembles a prison colony.
You can never leave.
Can you tell us what number on the map Bramble Eight. Is? I know this isn't helpful to listeners.
Well, we can post the map on the Tumblr.
That's
associated
right.
with the podcast.
Be sure to check out our Tumblr, which will exist by the time this goes live. It is B on my map, which doesn't help you at all. All right, do you see the inner walls there?
Yes.
Okay, at the top of the topmost tower, uh-huh. Right up from that is...
Yeah, it's 8.
Oh, 8.
Matthew said, yeah.
It's 8. That one?
Yeah, that's the Ramble House.
Okay.
That's the one.
It's a... Refer to your maps, listeners, it's 8. Or B, depending on which map you upload.
Please go to paizo.com and download the Giant Slayer player guide.
So you guys, she takes you up there and she's like, all right, guys, here's your room. And it's a little squat room that's, while not super impressive, it's better than any of what you guys had tonight. Even nicer than your home, Lork. It's got 4 beds, bunch of windows. And she says, you're welcome to stay here as long as you want at a discounted rate. And yeah, so you guys are all in the room.
What is the rate? The discounted rate.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
I mean, I
thought we were your guests.
She closes the door.
Outside the door. Charge him double, Charm.
Give him the discounted rate.
Is that Tom exposition again?
Oh, damn it.
God damn it.
He's damn everywhere. Him.
Shut up, Tom.
All right, so you guys are all in the room, and you have a chance to...
This is like a common room for the four?
Yeah. There's four beds, four sleeping cots.
Well, this is the nicest place Galabras will have slept in probably a year. So he's very happy about a real bed.
I'm going to... Lorca's going to talk to the witch just because he doesn't... he knew her at some point. I mean, if you were born in Trunau, then like he would have known of you, and then you would have left and then just suddenly come back. So he's just kind of, you know, wondering like where you are in the mountains.
I rove. I find little caves, a place to stay. Why are you offering a place to stay in town?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I started this line of conversation.
Get a room, you two. Oh, wait, you already did.
Gormley is very uncomfortable with the walls and goes and opens a window.
So you're sort of like a nomad, like a bit of a nomad?
A bit of a nomad. I think, you know, Gormley loves artifacts and especially magic artifacts. So I think she's been kind of roaming through the mountains and exploring whatever she can find and staying out in the wilds. She's a little claustrophobic.
Got it.
Yeah, that's right. This is no mountain cave. What's going on with Baron?
Baron asks Galabras what he's doing in town.
I'm sort of found myself here, really. I was brought here in chains, honestly. And I find myself a free man, and I have nowhere to go, so I try to make myself useful in the sanctuary.
Who enslaved you?
A bunch of Swedish rednecks, basically.
Essentially.
Half a world away. And I was brought here by a traveling merchant who probably regrets his purchase now.
No one should live in chains.
I agree. Thank you. Finally, someone agrees with me. I shouldn't be a slave. Oh, what a relief. I like you a lot.
Baron does not understand sarcasm.
So that's totally no, I know. Upset. I was totally.
Oh, okay. He was genuine. See, Baron's just...
I really am happy to talk to someone so you shouldn't be enslaved.
This is your happy face?
Baron, your guns are... concealed correctly. Mm-hmm, yeah. No evidence of it whatsoever.
Right, they're underneath my duster. I have a dwarven battle axe on my back, so you would probably assume that that's how I protect myself wandering around.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't mention that before. I have a spear, like a long spear.
Do you have a
that's like part of the
throwing spear type of thing?
No, like a... Like
are
a,
you part of the Blackened Blades? Or the militia?
No, I'm part of the militia.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't really do active patrols. I sort of am a patrol,
like
shift manager.
Street cop or something?
No, I'm like a desk cop. Like, I like monitor the patrols. I match up guys. I dispatch. I do that kind of thing.
So
you're on desk duty?
I'm an inside cat.
So yeah. I turn to Lork and I say, how's the paper pushing?
It's getting old.
I say...
like me.
If you had any... courage, and you'd be out there with me.
Oh, I've got plenty of courage. I've got plenty.
I'm not quite sure how to play a half-orc just yet. I think it's a lot of...
I like where he's going, yeah. When in doubt, growl.
So does Lork have a hope knife?
Well, I think it's more like... yeah, he does. And I think it's more along the lines of like...
If that fuck, Jagrin... trusted a half-orc to go out on patrol. He'd let me out.
I just wonder whose side you're on, Lork.
I'm on my side. I'm on Trunau's side. I swear to defend the town from all orcs. Blasted orcs.
And he's just basically like an orc sitting in front of
him. Right, as he rubs sweat off of his green skin.
I have to ask, honestly, why do you all stay here? Seems like the worst place on earth.
Sure.
Basically, it's basically Mordor. And you're in the middle of a shitty town in the middle of Mordor. If I had the chance to leave, I would leave.
The summers are gorgeous.
Oh, well, it is still, it's winter, I guess. So.
What is this Mordor?
No, you should, Gormith.
I said, what time of year, do we know what time of year it is?
Or are we completely out of our minds?
It's late fall.
I mean, I assume our characters know what time, it's late fall, okay. Winter is coming.
And I reserve the right to change that when I find out what season it actually is.
Okay.
Gormith says this is an interesting place with lots of mysteries if you know where to look.
Ooh.
I've unfinished business. Wherever orcs are, they must be fallen, killed. Killed.
Lork's never had another home. Don't know where to go.
By the way, is Lork like a French name for an orc, like L'Oreal? L'Orc?
L'Orc.
L'Orc.
And did he just say, don't know where go? Don't know where go.
Well, you're all, I have to say, you're all much braver than I am. It's admirable, really. Seems a little foolish.
I ask Galabras what his skills are.
I'm a healer. I've been touched by divine power, it seems. I can channel energy.
How many times?
Five times per day. I can use the bit of luck ability for six times per day. That will give you advantage on any roll.
Did Baron roll a knowledge check for Galabras?
No, I say, Galabras, you could be useful here in town with your skills.
Yes. Well, I hope to make myself useful.
Is Galabras celibate?
I think he's a virgin, but I don't think he's celibate.
All right. Anything else you guys need to discuss before you go to bed?
It's a whole line of questioning is making Glavers very uncomfortable.
Oh, wait. No. Incorrect sound there. I think I'm good. Right. Nice bed, covers, sheets.
It's nice. The window's open, so there's a little... The chill autumn air is coming in because
I like that.
Gormley doesn't feel comfortable in this closed-off room. And you awaken the next morning to a warm summer's day.
All right. Oh, God, I've been asleep for almost a year.
What was in that whiskey?
I have a shackled Galabras in chains in the middle of the night.
This isn't funny. This is not funny.
You guys awake and you kind of get
a little frat humor.
Getting your bearings, and you just hear like, downstairs.
Does it sound like fighting?
No, it just sounds like
commotion.
Commotion.
Voices.
Yeah.
No thumping, crashing.
Is it downstairs or outside?
Downstairs in the like common room.
I hastily don my chain shirt and pick up my mace.
Did you put it on backwards because you were so hasty? Is the tag in the front?
There is actually a rule. There's a rule for like hastily donning armor because it takes like a certain amount of time to do properly. But I don't know what it is. So anyway, but I put it on.
Let's stop so we can look this up in the Corvo book.
Okay. By all means, let's get bogged down by really fiddly.
Is Lork awake?
Yeah.
Okay, so I say time to prove your mettle.
But he spells metal M-E-T-A-L.
I am a dwarf. I love minerals or mines.
So I'm going to keep the old I'll don my studded leather, put the long spear on the back, and grab the – I have a mace as well, and just small quarters. I'll have the mace on hand. And go downstairs. I mean, I'll open the door and start going down and seeing what the commotion is.
Gormley follows.
I followed, yeah.
Kobe follows at a distance.
I follow.
Galabras is coming down the stairs, still fiddling in his arm. It's like, how does that damn thing work?
Just get it on, man.
I follow directly behind the orc, knowing that people will hit him before they hit this tiny guy behind him.
Yeah. I also have a little bit of a limp first thing in the morning. It's a little sore. He's an old man.
So you guys go downstairs, and it's just a little bit of pandemonium. Everyone is in a state of dismay, and there's the town militia is like, guys, I need you to come outside, please. And they kind of usher you outside, not violently, just like, please this way. And as you get outside, you see that the whole building is roped off. And Cham Laringfass, the halfling innkeeper that you guys spoke with last night, the owner, she's like, his wrists, they were lacerated, and his bloody hope knife was in his limp hand. Oh god, oh god, oh gods, oh gods.
which gods?
And she's just like almost hysterical, like, I can't believe this.
Who
And she says, Roderick.
No.
Roderick Graff is dead.
Where is he?
Not Roderick.
No.
I found him in his room, dead.
All right, calm down.
I run over to the room.
No, it's all roped off. You're outside
now. Oh, okay. It's like, let me in. Let me in. I can help.
Well, she's like, stand back. And damn it, put your half blade on right.
I'm a healer, damn it. Not a armor guy.
Ah, yes, armor guy. I turn to Lork and say, help a brother out. Get him in there. You're a militiaman.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, like, they know me. Like, what are they going to tell me?
Lork.
Just keep the crowd back, or?
Lork, what are you doing here? You live downtown.
Jam gave me a room for that. I felt I wanted to sleep in a room with a dwarf.
I guess.
Just want to sleep in a room with a dwarf, a witch, and a healer.
I've never done that before. And once again, it's
dude, I was drinking.